Order, please rise. Mr. Danable, will you do the pledge for us?
Pledge allegiance to the
flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have an announcement of action in closed session on the measure. It's 2014-15-19. By unanimous vote, the board approved non-reelection of probationary certificated employees. And in the second announcement, resolution 2014-15-20, by unanimous vote, the board approved release non-reelection of temporary, including probationary, certificated employees. And now for our student representative.
So the Lyndhurst High School Board Report. Old business. There was a Senate meeting on Friday, February the 12th. And on February the 13th for Valentine's Day, we had singing grams by choir and other Valentine grams by other clubs around campus. The leadership class hosted the Steal the Heart game, which was every girl was offered a button with a heart on it, and during break, passing time, and lunch, girls couldn't talk to any boys, but if they talked to a boy, they had to give their heart to that boy. The game did not count during class time. At the end of the day, the boy with the most hearts got a prize, and those girls who still had their heart got a Hershey's Kiss for it. This day was also Stoplight Day, which was where green if you are single, yellow if you are crushing, and red if you are taken. It ended up being a really successful day. New business, the blood drive will be on Thursday, February the 26th. Also, the Yuba Gardens tours for the incoming freshmen will be on March 4th. And currently, we are planning our next big event, which is a Powerpuff game against classes, which will be held on March 27th. The Marysville High School Board Report. January 26th through the 30th is Kindness Week. Starting with kindness to animals and ending with kindness to teachers, events will stick to friends and care in the air went off very well this year, and there were lunch periods where the students never stopped enjoying the fun. February 10th through 13th, Homecoming Week, started with the very popular Pajama Day and ended with the very spirited Black and Orange Day. In between these dress-up days were the unique Floral Day and Disney Day. This year's winter homecoming theme was Disneyland, and the dance theme was Happily Ever After. There was a homecoming prince and princess for all of the underclassmen, and the homecoming king was varsity's boys basketball player Anthony Latouche and varsity girls tennis player Mary Lore. As per tradition, there was an annual hallway built for each grade level and a car built for the clubs. The theme of the winning junior class hallway was Tomorrowland. In second place was a senior class with the theme of Fantasyland. And in the third place was the freshman class with the theme of Frontierland, followed by sophomore class with the theme of Adventureland. The two winning clubs are as follows. Key Club in first place with the theme of Carland, and Academic Decathlon in second place with the theme of Pacific Wharf. And of course, there was an ever-successful rally on Thursday before the dance. February the 20th, our second blood drive of the year went off without a hitch. There was a wonderful number of sign-ups every one of the 3 days, and many, many lives were saved. February 23rd through the 27th was the National FFA Day, is this week. We began with final day. Today is college day. Wednesday is camo day. Thursday is tractor day. And Friday is FFA dress up. Coming events. Also, Marysville High School is preparing itself for the extraordinary fun of March Madness, where every day there is a dress up day. We'll be updating you next month. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next we have our presentation in purchasing department, Kathy Cartwright.
We operate a centralized purchasing and warehouse program, and while knowing we exist ultimately to enhance our students' education environment, we strive to cost-effectively obtain and provide quality goods and services to district organizations in a timely manner. So our goal is to maintain the highest standards of ethics, integrity, and professionalism, and to preserve the best interest of the district and our vendors as we provide genuine value and service to our customers, which are the school sites, teachers, and our students. And our needs are diverse in the district. They include basic instructional materials for reading, writing, math, science, art, athletic supplies, furniture, AV equipment, office equipment, maintenance service, custodial supplies and equipment, transportation equipment, vehicles, computers, printers, copiers, and software, to name a few. We want to make sure our schools have quality tools available to provide an optimal learning environment for our students. And on the first slide, you'll see the staffing of purchasing warehouse and the print shop. And let's see here. In the purchasing department, we're reviewing purchase orders daily. And some of that review includes checking for accuracy and making sure we're getting the best price and possibly request special proposals or quotes. We apply discounts, sometimes changing the vendors for best product, price, service. Currently, this school year, we've documented savings of over $15,000, and when we adjust those POs, and we're not sacrificing the product brand, it would be the same product brand, and we're not sacrificing the quality or anything or warranties when we do this, and we are just adjusting the purchase orders as they filter through our office, and we're releasing the funds and adjusting those POs, and the funds go directly back to the school site, so that's really nice. We process annually anywhere from 3,500 to 4,000 purchase orders. We do bids and quotes and proposals. Right now we have our annual paper supply bid out for July delivery for next year's store supplies. And we have some service RFPs that we usually do in the spring also. And then for furniture equipment orders, including technology items, we try to utilize a number of resources. We often use special contract pricing. Historically, that has included state contracts, multi-state contracts, piggyback contracts from other agencies, tools that we've brought to the board for approval to use to help streamline our processes. There have been cooperative contracts such as the National Joint Power Alliance, Cooperative Purchasing Network, Western State Contracting Alliance, known as WISCA. And I would like to personally thank the board for approving these procurement tools, as they have allowed us to streamline and expedite a number of purchases while ensuring we remain compliant with laws and regulations that govern the purchasing by governmental agencies. So again, quality is not sacrificed and discounts have been significant. And some of the purchases through the host of resources that we use over the past several years that you may recognize are the district's wide area mower. It's a John Deere mower that you will see, a beautiful big green mower. You will see it. A lot of the school sites and maybe out in front of the district office. School buses, Apple products, the iPads that are being brought into the schools for our students' use, the iPads, there's been a large number of them over the past couple years. District standard computers, laptops, and servers. New athletic lockers at Lyndhurst most recently. A mail machine that was reaching or approaching end of life after 12 years for the district. Printers and copiers, a variety of them. And so it's wonderful to have those tools, and I would like to personally thank the board for allowing us to use them. Thank you. Some of the other things you'll see on this list, you know, fixed asset inventory, that was just sent out earlier this month to the sites, and it's due back after spring break. Service contracts, disposal, and you'll see the resolution we bring annually to the board for disposing a lot of the obsolete material and equipment. And, of course, the warehouse store supply orders, safety data sheets, and processing the U.S. mail, those are all kind of handled in the purchasing department. Some of the service contracts we maintain and prepare the contracts for and the purchase orders annually are the copiers, scanners, and we handle the garbage service for the district, and we make sure we suspend it over the breaks, not just summer break, but perhaps Thanksgiving, winter, and spring break, and there's a significant cost savings when we do that. The burglar alarm service, fire extinguishers, the laundry service, which is basically your dust mops and cleaning cloths for the custodians, pest control, and whatever else we may need for the school year. And here's just a little chart that gives you an idea over the past several years historically of the annual purchase orders. They vary a little bit, but anywhere between 3,500 to 4,000. And some of the furniture and equipment projects that we've handled over the past couple years since I spoke to you last, we were just finishing up Yuba Feather when I spoke last to you a couple years ago, around April, I believe. And then, of course, the Oliver's new classroom building, Ella's new two-story classroom building most recently, and then their office, and then the Abe Lincoln Independent Study. And when we are looking at furniture, we spend a lot of time evaluating and choosing something and trying to standardize as much as we can. And we're looking for a lot of things, the life cycle, the warranty, not just the cheapest price, but something that's really going to be timeless in its appearance and its durability and stuff, and flexibility, functionality for the teachers to maybe put their desks in work groups or not if they choose not to, but being able to have that flexibility to do either. So we're looking at a lot of things when we're placing orders and standardizing for the students. And we actually have had students come and sit in the desk, and we talk to teachers, and we appreciate the feedback. So here's some pictures of Yuba Feather as the furniture was coming in. You'll see we've got warehouse staff unloading some of it, and then we were up there unpackaging and trying to stage the rooms a little bit for them. That was exciting for Yuba Feather. Here we have Oliver's new classroom building, and again, we try to, if we have time, to stage the rooms a little bit with furniture so the teachers can see some of the different functionality and the flexibility they have with the furniture if they choose to put it in any type of a work group or maybe a different, just kind of a different setup in the room besides the basic standard single desk setup. And here's the Ella two-story classroom building. This was kind of interesting because the elevator, the day before all this furniture arrived, and you can see it staged outside here on the picture in the upper left, the elevator was working fine. The day of this delivery, it had to be down for some additional service. So they had to carry all the student desks and chairs up the stairs. So, but nobody complained. It just took a little longer, and it was pretty exciting to see it all come together. And here is the new office at Ella School. That turned out pretty nice. I think they're pretty happy with that. And then we've got the warehouse crew, or the warehouse staff. And they handle quite a variety of items. And some of the things you don't think, you think maybe they're just distributing stuff from the warehouse, but that's not the case. They are doing the school site department supply deliveries for our general stores. They have the dry and frozen food products. We have a freezer building and dry food storage. They're doing central receiving for the district. They're putting the inventory tags on the things that come into the warehouse that need tags, like the laptops or iPads, servers, AV equipment, anything that's over our threshold. And they do the inter-district mail service. They're helping dispose of obsolete textbooks and property. They actually distribute and collect the testing materials, and they do some food transports. So they're like the little silent hub. They have a lot of things that they do, but you just don't necessarily see it happening. They just make it happen every day. These are some of the commodity groups that we stock in our general store's warehouse. And then annually, here's some history on the value of what's been distributed. Of course, these are at some pretty deep discounts when we send the quotes in and bring them in. These are at significant discounts when we're distributing this stuff annually. And this is just the general store's warehouse. Now, these are the number of items, the unit of issue, the number of items that have been distributed historically from the warehouse. whether it's a gross of pencils or a case of paper towels. It's whatever the unit of issue is. This is how many items we're distributing. And I thought this would be fun for you guys to see what the general store's warehouse in the paper section looked like at the beginning of the year versus what it looks like at the end of the year. I thought that would be a nice visual for you to have. And then in the freezer building, again, you can see how we were stocked up at the beginning of the school year, and then again what it looks like normally at the end of the school year. It's a big difference, of course. And the dry food storage, there's a very big difference with what we see there. And that would be, you know, canned goods and probably lunch trays in that room. And we did have a little small public sale last May, and so I thought you guys would appreciate seeing a picture of that. It was mostly just a few old vehicles and some old grounds equipment. And we just had a preview, assigned everything a lot number. We kept it really simple, and we accepted bids, and we just kept all the proceeds were kept within the district and put back to those two departments. And then the print shop, they have a wide variety of professional print services that they offer, and I'm so thankful to have such knowledgeable staff in all the departments, and the print shop is awesome with what they do out there, so it's amazing. They're just quite talented, so I really appreciate them. And here they are standing in front of, they had a black production copier that was at end of life last year, and we replaced it in January of 2014, so they're standing in front of their new unit. We have a second machine that's at end of life, and they like this unit so much, we're hoping to bring another one in, identical to this unit, hopefully soon. And in closing, I'm thankful for having truly excellent staff members in all departments. They're passionate about their duties. You can tell that when you talk to them and visit their departments. They strive to do their best to support the students and the teachers. And I'd also like to thank the board and cabinet and Mr. DiGiulio for their support. And if there's any questions?
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Yeah. Every time I've walked through there, it's amazing to me how much gets done and in and out and how they get those trucks out of the MCAA parking lot, I'll never know either.
It's a little tricky sometimes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mrs. Cartwright, I would just like to say that this is really one of the important areas that's really behind the scenes that helps every one of our schools and truly helps all the kids that are in our district. So it is a very important part of our district.
Thank you. Yeah, it's interesting because we'll be placing the orders, but it's on the rare occasion we actually get out to the school site and we'll see what we ordered because we don't see it. It comes to the warehouse and we don't see it and it goes out to the school. So it's nice getting out to the sites and actually seeing some of the products. It's exciting to see them in the classroom. Thank you.
Okay. Next we have comments from board members. Mr. Danable, would you like to start? Nothing? Okay.
Not so much it's a compliment. My granddaughter received her second trimester grade. Her teacher's here tonight. I don't want to embarrass her, but because of her hard work, my granddaughter's reading level went from second grade to sixth grade, almost. That's the hard work your teachers are doing. If I could jump up and hug her now, I would. But like I said, I don't want to embarrass her. Makes me feel good as a grandpa to spend 40 years with this company and then see what a great job so many of you teachers are doing. So thank you. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Boom? Mr. Rasmussen?
So in the last couple of weeks, I had the opportunity to attend the LCAP Budget Advisory Committee meeting, which I thought was very interesting, and also the District LCAP Advisory Committee meeting, I believe it was, at Edgewater School. So one of the things that's very helpful is if we can truly get the input from the parents of the students that come to those meetings. So the hope would be the next time that there is the advisory committee meeting that we certainly, I think it's going to be at Linda School in March, if I believe was the timeline, It would really be helpful if we could get all of the parents to come to those meetings to help give some direction that they would like to see with their students for the district. Thank you.
Ms. Flory?
Yes, recently, the last couple of weeks, we have, Mr. Danable and I have been visiting schools. We visited down in the valley. Now we have gone up to the foothills. We were at Dobbins, Yuba Feather, Foothill. We're going to Browns Valley at the end. Sometimes being in the valley, we forget the schools. And then I know when we came around, they said, we haven't seen you for a while. Yuba Feather, I've not seen that building until they complete. It's an amazing building, and just to watch what they've got there. Also, last night, I went with the after-school program with Ashley and Jolie Carrion, and it is an amazing program we have in the after-school. When you go there, we started at Kynock, where they were going through their planning. Then we went on to Kovalod, where there was parents there watching the after-school program, which also my grandchildren attend the after-school program. Then we went to Johnson Park, and it's amazing the program. Recently, they've started a supper program for those kids, which is very important, because we don't realize a lot of our kids do not have nutrition, and so that is an amazing program they're doing. Also, Kathy, I've watched the people in that job that you've had for several years, and you've done an amazing job, and it's obvious you go above and beyond what is expected. You're one of those team members that will give above and beyond, and I do appreciate it as one of the board members.
This is an important week, too. This week, all the departments in Yuba Sutter as police officers are being honored on Saturday night at the Officer of the Year dinner. And on behalf of the board, I'd like to congratulate all the winners who have either been printed in the paper or I see them on Saturday night. That's it for me. So that brings us to opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
Good evening. My name is Inga Schleschler. I'm the president for Marysville Unified Teachers Association. And I have been so sick, and so I don't really have a huge presentation for you tonight. But I'm hoping that we're getting to the end of this process, and I'm hoping I'm getting to the end of having to be on antibiotics. So I'm asking tonight, what's the holdup, and how can I help? Here are some things that are clear. Since 2007-2008, the district hires 8% fewer teachers now than it did. Students have suffered increased class sizes and fewer choices on master schedules. Enrollment has not gone down 8%, just in case you're wondering. The district pays $1.6 million less in teacher salaries now than it did in 2007-2008. The district's ending fund balance continues to increase. And you've seen this slide before. You know these numbers. The financial crisis has been averted. It's over. Teacher income has decreased an average of 10.67%. This year, Marysville Joint Unified School District received an increase in revenue of 11%, $8.6 million. Next year, Marysville Joint Unified expects to receive an additional increase of $7.1 million in revenue. Board members and Dr. Todd, during this entire time, these last 5 years, took no losses. We're currently bargaining for this year as per policy. As Board Member Rasmussen pointed out before, one of the most important things is to follow policy. Your team, our team, we haven't sunshined for next year. we sunshine for this year. Last year, we sunshine for this year. We'd like to finish this year. It's clean and simple. Here's how teachers have taken their pay cut. The first bar is from 2009-2010. As a unit, we were paying about $2.6 million per year for our health premiums. This year, we are paying $5.8 million. We're paying $3.2 million more in health care. It comes out of our check. I believe I've shown this to you before. This is a graph of five different employee groups in the district. And the 100% line, that blue line, is how much on average in California is paid toward those various groups. On average, teachers have always been paid less than the California average. And I know that in years past, other presidents were doing these presentations. Anytime that we mentioned that we were being paid less than the California average, we were told, well, you live in Yuba County, of course you're going to get paid less than the average California. However, the other groups seem to be paid at the average or above, mostly. The data comes in kind of slow for this, for these, because it has to go through you to the state, but this is from the Ed data source, and the last year that I have compiled right now is 12-13. And in 12-13, when we were making 97%, that's 3% less than the state average, your classified support was making 139% of the state average. So they were being, or you were spending 39% more than the state average on that unit. It doesn't mean that their pay was high. It may be that you just hire a lot more of them. I don't know. You can affect those numbers. If you hired a lot more teachers and not increased their pay, you would be spending more on teacher salary. The classified supervisors and administrators, 31% more. The group closest to us is that red bar. Right about average all the time. Those are the site administrators. So here's the bottom line. The district needs to be able to make us whole. We've lost a little over 10%, 10.5% in pay compared to 07, 08. We're in 14, 15. The funds are there. We know the funds are there. Make us whole. Thank you.
Okay, Operating Engineers Local Number 3. California School Employees Association is 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Supervisory Unit. Okay, we'll move on to public comments. I need to remind the audience that the board cannot make comments or answer any questions that you might have during public comments. And since we have multiple cards here, we're going to limit you to a minute and a half, okay, to make your presentation. And we'll go from there. And the first card holder is Terry Bilodeau.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. First, I wanted to make something clear. I wasn't sure, was my job cut in closed session, or was it not? Oh, I'm sorry, you can't speak. Okay, anyway, I'm taking a college course right now at night. One of the first assignments that they gave us was actually to go ahead and sell ourselves in a few minutes to an employer. Sometimes I feel like I might be in that situation right now. So I'm a local kid. I went to school here. My kids right back there, they go to school here too. My dad worked at Beale for 35 years. My mom was a nurse in the hospital. When I was 19, I decided to join the service. When I went in, I took the ASVAB test, and I actually scored high enough that they told me I could take any job I wanted. So I asked them. I told them I like it here. What would it take to come back to Beale? They told me if I could go into Special Forces and pass the EOD school, I could come back and actually be right here at Beale with my family. So it took about a year to get through the class, or the course. They warned me that 85% of the people failed that tried that were fresh recruits. I actually passed it and came back to Beale. When I did, there was 8 of us. We served all the SAC bases on the West Coast. We also served all the bomb calls and hazardous things that happened as far as chemical spills right here in our local area. During the time I got to Beale, it took about 6 months, and I was actually called up and I was made Airman of the Month at Beale, which was pretty cool. A little while longer, later in the year, I was called up and they made me Airman of the Year at Beale Air Force Base. I was down to where my hitch was getting close to up, so I volunteered for overseas, anywhere they wanted to send me. And I actually went to Korea for my last year. When I got out, I hadn't spent my time in the service just spending it. I'd invested it. I actually came out, I had 8 ribbons, and I had 4 hard medals. One of those hard medals was the highest peacetime award given in the United States Air Force for heroism. It was called the Airman's Medal. After I got out of the service, I kicked around here a little bit, did construction work, did maintenance work, and did manufacturing work.
Terry, you're going to have to kind of hurry up here.
Okay. During that time, we were getting close to Y2K. Y2K came up. I actually started working on solar because I knew that power was going to be an issue. I actually built an isolation circuit, designed it and built it, and then I designed, built, and patented an adapter that was used in solar lighting. After I did that, it wasn't long after I got hired at Sutter North Medical Foundation. I worked there. They hired me as a maintenance supervisor. I worked my way all the way up to operations manager. During my time there, I was employee of the month several times. I was also their overall employee of the year.
Terry, you've got to get down to what you're saying here. Okay.
Okay. What I'm saying is on just the other day, I had had my boss come in and say, Terry, the district has decided to go a different direction. We're moving in a different direction. And you're not part of that direction. After they told me that, I looked in the board packet. The board packet clearly says that these cuts are being put in place because there's no money and there's no work. It's on page 64. Right now, we have $1,200,000 in the maintenance budget. Along with that, we have over 300 open work orders, or 300 open projects and 700 open work orders. So it's not like there's no work, and it's not like there's no money. It's there. We're running an 8% positive variance, meaning that this month we have more to spend than we spent last month. The information that was presented to you just simply is not true. I'm here asking you. I want to keep my job. I have a great crew. They're in the back here watching. My family is here. I feel they do a great job. I feel I do a good job leading them. And I'm asking you, please reconsider. Take a look at your board packet. If it's not true, don't vote for it. I'm a taxpayer, Yuba County, and have been all along.
Okay, so, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, once again, I'd like to ask the speakers, be specific, okay, be specific. Connor Oliver, next. Remember, there's a maximum of 20 minutes total. Okay.
Well, hopefully I won't take that much time. Dear board members, my name is Connor Oliver, and I've been an employee in this district for the last 26 years. I suppose that makes me an old-timer. I've seen four, maybe five superintendents come and go, and many more board members in my tenure with this district. Many times I've spoken before the board, but only when I felt that the situation at the time was so muddled that morally and civically I had to speak out. I trust that you will receive what I say, knowing that I'm always speaking with all due respect, and never mean to be discourteous, though the old adage, the truth hurts, can sometimes be received as such. As usual, I'm speaking on my own behalf and will be expressing my own views. Yet in reality, my views and frustrations are shared by most of my peers, whom I keep a pulse on, though they are uncomfortable in expressing it on their own. So I take it upon myself to, as my wife puts it, stick my neck out. You're all aware of the figures compiled by the state actuals and presented by MUTA. When I look at them, Gomer Pyle comes to my mind with this classic, shame, shame, shame. With all due respect, how can you morally justify it? Things like reduction in employees over time, yet the income from the state slowly increases, meaning that the district is paying its teachers less, yet their workload increases. Things like the consistent trend to underproject the budget and cry poor, when in reality much more money was there. Things like an unwillingness to raise the district's contribution to employee health benefits, thereby providing some relief to the employees who carry the rising costs of health care. Heck, back in the olden days when I was first hired, everything was paid for, even with rising medical costs. And most egregious of all is the compensation, which is essentially a pay increase, that you have approved for your top administrators and yourselves. All the while, teachers get nothing and are engineered into multi-year contracts with unmaterialized district promises of more money to come if state funding rose. I pay over $1,200 a month for my health care, yet the top brass and yourselves pay nothing. While my salary stays the same, the superintendent's goes up significantly with the added temerity to demand more under the implication of legal proceedings. All the while, teachers get no relief from the rising cost of living or monetary recognition for all of their hard work, including personal expenditures for their classrooms. And lastly, a fair share of the pie. Least I remind you, teachers are the backbone of the district. You are the administration are not in the classroom dealing with educating and assisting children who are often coping with terrible downtrodden lives. Talking about a stressful job that most of you couldn't do, Again, the old adage that those who teach, teach. Those that can't, administrate, comes to mind.
Okay, you're going to have to wrap this up now.
I'm moving on, sir. How can you not justify not even considering to give teachers a fair share commensurate with the responsibility they burden? After all, there is no greater responsibility than culturing a young mind, fostering a moral responsibility, and providing structure and support in the community where this aspect is seriously lacking. Teachers do this on a daily basis, and for the board to reward a small minority while passing up the majority is reprehensible. Don't have much luck. Again, teachers make the district. Without us, there would be nothing. Heck, at the compensation you are offering, there might be nothing in the near future. For who would want to work in such a poorly compensated district? Oh yeah, a common justification teachers hear for such monetary disrespect is that it would cost too much to give them all a raise. Poppycock. If you are so concerned about spending existent money, then discontinue that unfair, in my opinion, Me Too clause in the contract, as a 1% raise costs the district a lot more for an inflated top brass salary than it would for an underpaid teacher salary. That is especially true because so many of the teachers are newer employees who are at a lower level on the salary scale and still trying to raise a family. The top brass deals with you, the board, while negotiating, when everybody else is represented by the teachers' union, even though they have unions of their own. Is the Me Too clause truly fair, commensurate with the job we all do? Again, speaking for all teachers, we are the district. Spend a day in our shoes, and a day in an administrator's shoes, and see who has a harder job. Then perhaps you too will acknowledge that teachers are the backbone of the district. Heck, if I was Cesar Chavez shouting, Huelga, then you might see how integral we are. Again, Gomer Pyle's in my head saying, shame, shame, shame. I know you are all reputable people who want to do the right thing. So do it, and instruct your people to bargain with us fairly, honestly, and now. Thank you for your time.
Okay, I guess we might have time for a couple more. Okay, remember, we have 20 minutes max, okay, on the total minutes. Brian Hatch, next.
My name is Brian Hatch. I teach at Cedar Lane. I've been there. This is my 27th year. Last time I was here, I told you that, if you remember. I'd echo the comments that have been made, and I'd simply want to say it's time to do the right thing. The nice compliments about teachers, I appreciate that. You know, it kind of is the thing that keeps us going when we know that we're making a difference in children's lives. But it's time, board members, to exercise your authority and your influence and give us a reasonable compensation. We need help with cost of living. We need help with our health care. You know, there's nothing more to say. The money is there. It's time to do the right thing and not just talk about, well, whatever. Thank you.
It says Linda Strange.
Well, good evening. First, I'd like to thank the board members because I know you are dedicated to the students of Marysville Joint Unified School District, and that does not go unnoticed. The other day I asked my students what my job was, and they told me my job was to teach them. Pretty simple when you think of everything teachers do. Teachers are analysts. We do an error analysis on almost every academic interaction we have with our students, not just the benchmark exams. Teachers are motivators. We get students interested in learning about reading, writing, math, science, and social studies, when quite honestly, some of them were only interested in with whom they would attend Friday's dance when they entered my room. Teachers are physical and mental health screeners. Students come to us with skinned knees. They come to us with the flu and broken bones. Students speak to us about disagreements with peers, their parents' divorce, and their inability to cope with past abuse they've had in their lives. Our job is to patch them up and send them on to more help if that's what they need. Teachers are safety officers. It's our responsibility to keep our school sites safe for everyone. And if unforeseeable tragedy occurs, we're entrusted with our students' very lives. So what does that make us? That makes teachers the foundation of Marysville Joint Unified School District. And when young, promising teachers leave the field because they can't support themselves and their family, that foundation is eroded. And when promising teachers leave the field for job security instead of annual layoff notices, that foundation is eroded. When teachers experience annual reductions in their take-home pay due to rising health costs, that foundation is eroded. When teachers contemplate their reduced take-home pay, and see the apex of the organization receive hefty pay raises, that foundation is severely eroded. So I'm asking you, the board members, to actively oversee the bargaining between MUTA and the district. Ask questions, attend the meetings, make repairs to the foundation of Marysville Joint Unified School District. After all, it's not the beauty of a building, but the construction of its foundation that will stand the test of time. Thank you.
Okay. That concludes public comments. Superintendent's report.
Thank you. I have just a couple of quick notes. On Thursday evening, we will be attending the Administrator of the Year Awards through AXA, and I believe almost all of the board members will be attending that, and we do have an administrator who will be honored at that event. So it is at 6:30 in Yuba City at the Hillcrest Plaza. And then the second item is the Education Foundation will be reading their second round of mini-grants. And so we are looking forward to being able to fund a number of projects that have been submitted to the district. And that's the end of my report. Okay.
That brings us to approval of minutes. If there are no additions or corrections to the minutes of the last board meeting, the board will entertain a motion to approve. Mr. Danimal moves to approve the board minutes. It's seconded by Mr. Rasmussen. Okay, all those in favor? Aye. Six, yes. Consent agenda. Would anybody like anything pulled from the consent agenda? Okay. If there's nothing to be pulled from the consent agenda, the board will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda. Okay, Mr. Fleury makes a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Danable seconds. No discussion. All those in favor? Six yes?
No.
One no. Okay. Mr. Crawford. So five yes, one no. And that brings us to new business. Personnel services, tentative agreement with CSEA 326.
Yes, thank you and good evening. The purpose of this agenda item, consistent with board direction and authorization, was to extend the additional bargaining groups an opportunity to consider a 4-4, CSEA 326. And MJESD representatives came together, and we bring forward this tentative agreement to be considered for its approval. And as outlined in the TA, it is a 4% increase for the current school year and an additional 4% increase beginning July 1, 2015. All CSCA 326 represented classifications and titles will be increased in accordance with those timelines. So we recommend the board approve this tentative agreement.
Okay, any questions? Okay, if there are no questions, the board will entertain a motion to pass tentative agreement with CSCA 326.
Motion to approve.
Mr. Boone moves to approve. Is there a second? Mr. Danable seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Six yes? Six yes. Okay. Item two, tentative agreement with CSCA 648. Is there any discussion?
Thank you again. This particular tentative agreement, in similar manner, outlines an agreement which specifies for a 4% increase for the current school year, retroactive to July 1, 2014, and an additional 4% increase to the 648 represented salary ranges, effective July 1, 2015, for an additional 4%. As directed and authorized, this 4% increase for each of the 2 years was extended to the bargaining groups, and we're happy to bring this forward as a tentative agreement and recommend that the board approve it.
Okay, any discussion? If there's no discussion, the board will entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Mr. Danable moves to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Mr. Crawford seconds. All those in favor, please say yes.
Aye.
Okay. Passes 6-0. Item 3, Resolution 2014-15-21, classified particular kinds of service, PKS, to be eliminated.
Yes, thank you. This particular item focuses on undetermined amount of funding and also lack of work in consideration for the positions that have been recommended for elimination. In accordance with statute, once approved after consideration, the board will give direction to the superintendent and her designee to notify the employees affected by this classified particular kinds of service elimination for the notices according to a 60-day notice, which is now the requirement by law, and to eliminate these services for the 2014-15 school year. Some of these are, most of these are site-funded positions that will more than likely be reinstated given the definitive information that's given to school site councils and the principals than to restore the service. But recommend at this particular time that you approve this resolution.
Okay, just any comments? I see on page 65 that we're really talking about under 15 positions. Most of them are 1.75, 1.32, 2.52. I don't know how they figured those. Paraeducators, director of maintenance, okay. Bilingual student support specialist. Okay, if there are no other questions, yes.
No, I have one question. On the last one, the director of maintenance, can Mr. DiGiulio enlighten us on that? What's the plan moving forward? What are we?
We do have a plan. The plan will begin to be presented at the next meeting on March 10th. So there will be leadership over that department.
Okay. Next question. Does elimination of the position require elimination of the employee?
As afforded to the employees affected by the PKS, they will be given a minimum of 60-day notice. The positions will then come to an end at that point or beyond as stated in the notices that they receive.
Okay. All right. If there's no other discussion, is there a motion? No, I think we went a little bit long on the first part. Okay. Okay, let's. Excuse me. This is uncalled for. All right. Is there a motion on the floor to?
I'll make the motion.
Okay, Mr. Denville moves to pass the resolution. Is there a second? The motion dies for lack of a second. Okay. Is there someone who would like to comment, make an amendment to the motion? Okay, I know this. We're under a timeline here too, and March deadlines approach too, right?
Classified employees are afforded a 60-day notice by law. So, if there are questions or if there is a need in some way, shape, or form to re-examine this agenda item, then obviously, depending on the wishes of the board, we can consider that. We do have some time, but ultimately, in the interest of giving employees sufficient time, we've brought it forward, as we have in the past, all together, given the various resolutions that are to be considered. And so with that in mind, yes, ultimately, it's affording them a minimum a 60-day notice before their employment ends.
Okay. Okay, I'm sure that this is going to be an item of discussion at a further date. Okay, that brings us to nutritional services number one, National School Breakfast Week.
It's that time of year to recognize school breakfasts. I'd like to take this resolution to the board for approval, and I have a couple fun facts for you about school breakfasts. The School Nutrition Association publishes a few facts for us to share with you. Students who eat breakfast have better attention and memory. Students who eat school breakfast attend, on average, 1.5 more school days per school year. And students who participate in school breakfast show improved attendance, behavior, standardized achievement test scores, as well as decreased tardiness. And some of our fun activities this year are to debut some new menu items. We have some fresh baked muffin bread that we're baking the week of school breakfast week, as well as some favorites that the kids have, like pancake sausage on a stick and our coffee cake, and among a few others. I have some activities planned for the school breakfast week, along with a poster contest that we've participated in years past, that we typically have several admissions that we will submit onto the national level for, hopefully, one of our artists might be recognized on a national level. And that's all I have to say about the resolution, so if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
It's pretty hard to be against breakfast. I do worry, though, that pretty soon it'll be, you don't know how to feed your kid, we'll do it. So I worry about government intervention in school and community support. Okay, resolution 2014-15-22, is there a motion to pass?
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Crawford moves to pass the motion. Is there a second? You're too late. Mr. Rasmussen got it. Okay. With that done, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Like I said, it's pretty hard to be against breakfast. Okay. Business services, number one, MOU with the City of Marysville to implement safe routes to school the SRTS improvement project. Ryan, is that you?
Yeah, we're just working with the city and Public Works. They're trying to receive a grant, so if we get some grant monies, they'll try to make some improvements in and around the school, mostly having to do with crosswalks, stop signs, possible improvements to the street, such as speed bumps, whatever it may be, to make it safer for our students, especially moving on and off campus.
Okay. Any comments?
Yes, I have one. So it looks as though one of the district requirements is to designate an STRS program coordinator. So my only concern would be that we're taking or adding duties to somebody that's already here in the district, or how that's going to work.
It is a separate funded position through the grant, and so it would be in addition to, as far as for staffing of that particular position. So it's not adding to any current.
We would hire somebody for that?
It's through part of the grant.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, hopefully it won't end up with one stop sign somewhere. Okay, and then we'll really have some safe routes to school. If there's no further discussion, is there a motion to approve? Okay, Mr. Fleury moves to approve the business service number one. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Mr. Crawford seconds it this time. Okay. All right. There's no further discussion. All those in favor? Aye. Unanimous. Okay, and brings us to... facilities and Energy Management Department, agreement with the mobile modular for purchase, of one refurbished unit at South Linders High School. Any discussion?
This is just the agreement to purchase the actual modular building to house the additional classes or students we will have at that site next year. We also come back with an RFP for the work to actually do all the construction that will allow that to be placed there. But this is just for the actual modular classroom.
Okay, and is this the second portable classroom going to Linders? So this is the first
South
one.
Linders.
Okay.
It's an additional one to what they have existing on the campus. And it's going to, the project you'll see will have a lot larger scope in terms of moving the fence by the Ag Center, creating some better area, landscaping so that there's water flow and drainage improvements, and also there'll be curbing and things to tie it all into campus, as well as tying in electrical, all the internet and water and so forth.
Right, all the bills and whistles.
That will come at a later date. This is just for the building itself.
Is it new or used?
They're always refurbished. They sell them refurbished,
Have you seen one right
now? We haven't seen one yet. When we get it, we'll have to inspect it and approve it.
I say that because at one time we got one that really needed refurbished.
Well, we won't let... Yeah, we got quality control. We'll make sure it's something up to the standards that we need.
Okay, if there's no further discussion, the board will entertain a motion. Okay, Mr. Crawford moves. Seconded by Mr. Danable. All those in favor? Aye. Item two, service agreement with Warren Consulting Engineers and Company for topographical survey at MCAA. Is there any comment or discussion?
Just a necessary part of the process to see if we do add classrooms, which would be in that grass area between the new science building and MCAA, what it would take in terms of the land already there. If there's any presentation of any challenges that we don't know about and whatnot.
Well, don't worry. There'll probably be a water line that will break somewhere. So, in that, it's a very small area, but.
But there's tie-in and stuff too. So you got to look at where to tie in. So you have to survey more than just that area itself.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, the board will entertain a motion. Okay, Mr. Fleury moves to pass it. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Mr. Boom seconds the motion. All those in favor? Aye. Six yes. That brings us to item three. Agreement with Von Geldern Engineering Company on the new septic design for Foothill School. Any discussion?
I just let the board know this is the main design services, obviously, to make that septic system happen. So we're trying to fast track it so we can get it done this summer, and that we'll have a replacement for the old system in there and operating by the next school year.
It's nice to see a local company doing this too, this particular project.
We just
okay. Anybody? Any other comments? Okay. Is there a motion to pass?
Motion.
Okay, Mr. Boom makes motion. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor? Aye. Aye. Six yes. Brings us to number four. Change orders for the multi-site security system. I'll have a couple comments on this one.
As you know, this project went out to a hard bid, so it was a public bid. As such, we didn't do the lease-leaseback process, which builds in a 10% contingency. You still have the same process other than instead of those being taken out of the contingency, change orders are brought before the board for approval. And there's two here that are rather minor, but just certain features at the site weren't conducive to actually completing the cable run, so we just had to make some changes.
And I know this change order is rather small in comparison to some things we've had in the past.
Well, they're not all big. Sometimes they're even credits, but for this, you know, they're relatively small. Okay. When you look at the size, obviously 0.9% of the total project price.
I did read through the item. I'm sure everybody read through this. It has things that they couldn't find or weren't marked on the original. I'll shut up about that.
Well, are we going to continue to use the modified lease-leaseback that we were using, or are you going to, just it depends on the size of the project?
Yeah, it's project dependent, so it's also the size and also the amount of subcontractors, for example. The benefits of using lease-leaseback is if you can have a good project team, it can reduce costs and it can make the project more efficient in terms of the time. So when those opportunities present itself, we will use it. This one, it wasn't necessary to use that vehicle.
So, Ryan, my only question is, in the special reports on page 103, I guess in construction there's not like a flat rate manual as there is in automotive repair. But, and again, I don't know how big the pole is or how high the pole is, but to pull the wire out of the pole, it says it's taken 3 hours to do that. So, and then to put the wire back in is another 3 hours, which seems like, for a construction company, that seems like a long time to pull a wire out and put it back in. But, so obviously there's not a flat rate kind of manual that says, this pole is 9 feet tall. It should take you 3/4 of an hour to pull a wire and put it back in.
And we go back and forth on changes. Even the ones you don't see on the lease back, you know, they're supposed to give us time and material. So we'll go back and forth. If we see the project conditions or what they're trying to do and we deem it's unreasonable, we work with the architect as well, we'll go back and forth. So sometimes what you see isn't the final product. But if it's what's represented here, we believe is fair.
And I guess what we have to do is actually have trust in our contractors that we're hiring to.
You have to have a skeptical eye, and you have to look. We go back and forth. There's been many of the change orders I know on Ella itself since I've been here where we disputed and reduced. I know you don't see them as much because they're in the contingency, but there's a lot we go back and forth. It's not.
So who checks on that going back and forth? Is that Cynthia that goes out and looks
at the
pole?
Cynthia would do that, or the project manager we've had in the past. Yeah.
Okay.
We provide ultimate oversight of projects. We also work with the architects and our other part of our team, sometimes if we have other consultants or engineers. So we'll work together. They all work for us, essentially. Plus, we have the inspector of record there, and he's our employee. So he's because he's on the site the most, so we work with him, too, to make sure that this is being done and it's reasonable.
So that would be much like we approved another company to oversee the building of the fence earlier on, I think. So we have somebody who's kind of overseeing that project?
Yeah, because you have a general contractor or a contractor. In this case, it might just be one, and they might have a couple subcontractors, but they're running their site. Well, you have the architect who designs the plan, so they work with us to make sure it comes through that what's actually built is what their vision was for the design. Then inspectors required by the Division of State Architects, so they're overseeing that the work's done proper accordance with the plans and DSA specifications. And then we provide the management and the oversight because ultimately it's the district's money. We're the owner, and so we have to ensure that we're doing it we're getting the best product for the best price. So we're really the oversight, and we just work with those other consultants and part of our professional team outside of the contractors to make sure the contractors are living up to their contract agreements with us.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, if there's no other comments, the board will entertain a motion.
A motion to approve.
Okay, move to approve by Mr. Boom. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Danival. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Unanimous? 6-0. Item 5, MOU with Yuba County Office of Education to replace modular classroom building at Olivehurst School. This is I'm reading through this, no dollars spent by MUSD. MJUSD. So, is there any discussion?
They're just replacing the existing building with a larger building to more meet their needs, the county office. So we're working with them to make sure that it's all done in compliance and it works with what the site currently has and is a benefit for all students. We just oversee and make sure they do it, but the way the MOU is stated, they bear the responsibility for costs.
Thank you.
And it's a much bigger classroom, 72 by 40. So, okay, if there's no further discussion, the board will entertain a motion.
I'll make the
motion. Mr. Fleury makes the motion. Okay, and Mr. Crawford seconds. All those in favor? Aye. Item 6, service agreement with Rincon Consultants and Company for wastewater treatment system at Foothill School.
As the design contract before you, a prior item was for the septic system. This is also for the septic system, but it has to do with the environmental impact of installing the new septic system. There is a water feature, small creek, I guess you would call it, on the campus that goes off of our site. So we just have to make sure when we're performing it that the site is in compliance with the law, CEQA, which is the California Environmental Quality Act.
Okay. Service agreement with Rincon Consultants. Is there a motion to approve?
Make the motion to approve.
Okay, Mr. Crawford. Mr. Boom seconds. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
6 yes. Okay, normally that would be the end of our meeting, but we're going to adjourn to closed session. Okay, I'd like to close this meeting. One of our employees, former employees that I worked with for years and years and years, Mr. Jack Stokes, principal of Alicia, when he retired, has fought cancer for a long, long time. Okay, and he... it's really sad to lose somebody like this who has been so important to the district. So, Mr. Jack Stokes, this meeting is dedicated to him. Okay, with that, we're going to adjourn to closed session.